And we put this, so it's a stretch for him. He likes to be behind a guitar. He likes to sing. But when we put this series together last year, we said, who better to teach our people about worship than the guy who leads us in worship each week? And so God's really grown him. I'm thankful for Connor. We don't do this much. I'm thankful for him, for the relationship that he and I have. And he'll tell you in a little bit, 5 years ago, there was a reluctant little boy. Is what he was 5 years ago, and we offered him a position here. He said, I'll help you out for a little while. And then I saw him begin to grow, man, and he began to mature, and God began to give us a unity in our spirits to lead this thing. And then I watched him lead this group, and I can only imagine what it looked like for him down there today. Not being on stage, but to look and to see all the people that God has brought, and what a great team Connor has done bringing this team together and putting them together. It's just amazing. And so then I saw Connor grow another step, and he didn't become a worship leader. He became a worship pastor, which means the pastor cares for their sheep and cares for their flock. And I've seen him grow in his love and his care for you, and he wants you to experience worship in a way that would absolutely transform your life. So today, Pastor Conrad Cornbread Rice is going to come and share. Y'all give him some love as he comes to share with us today about worship.
Oh, well, been running from this thing for about 5 years now, and oh my gosh, there's a lot of people here. But I guess my legs finally gave out, and here we are. So I'll tell y'all a little bit about where I come from. So a lot of y'all that don't know me or know where I come from. Come from Stanford, right down the road. Lived out there in the sticks. Pretty normal life, little small town life. Had brothers and grew up in playing sports and just roughhousing, all the things you can imagine, around horses and everything else that you can imagine. The sticks out there. And we had a pretty good life. It was fun. We just kind of did our thing. We're homeschooled, so crazy we made it this far. And so we just kind of, I don't know, we kind of pushed each other growing up, challenged each other growing up, and it was fun. I've always loved worship. I've always loved just music. My brothers grew up ahead of me. We all grew up together, but they were playing and learning guitar a little bit before I did, so I kind of got to piggyback off of them and learn from them and just kind of see how things went there. And I just always loved music. Mom always had music going in the house. We always, every time we would go with Dad to work, we'd be listening to music. Everything was kind of, we always had music. It was just fun. And worship music has always kind of been my main thing. I've always been drawn to it. I remember from a early age when we were little, we had this CD. One of my brothers went to a church camp when I was little. I don't know where it was at. I don't know when it was, but I just know they brought back this CD. And the band was called Adam's Mark, and they had a handful of songs on there, and the audio was kind of terrible, but it was just like, I remember these songs in this CD that just talked about, like, I will trust in you, and you are the source of life. And I just remember these lyrics going through my head, and growing up, we would just all get in the room together, and we would hang out at night before we went to bed, say our prayers. Mom would turn the CD on, and we would just kind of listen to some music, some worship music, and I remember all these lyrics, and it just brought me this peace. It brought me this atmosphere of just like joy and peace, and these songs would be stuck in my head all the time, and I'm thankful for that moment that Mom set that up for us. And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about worship, what that looks like, but it's not going to be so much about that part of it. It's not going to be so much about the music, but it's going to be about a lifestyle of worship and what that looks like. And I'm going to talk about a story in the Bible that has revealed worship to me in a new way. It's kind of brought me to a new place. I've read this story a long time ago, and I'm not even sure if I just know that the way I read it has kind of brought it to life to me and what it looks like. It's kind of a wild story. My mind is kind of wild. It doesn't work between the ears very good right here like normal. But I'll just give you a story of kind of how my mind works. Like uncomfortable situations, I don't know if y'all are this way, but I laugh. It's probably not a healthy thing, but it's just the way my mind rolls. I laugh whenever things get weird and crazy and it's awkward and scary and whatever. And so there's a story. Me and my brother were headed to Sweetwater to this team meeting one time. It was about this time of the year right here, and it was an icy day. I kind of think a storm had just blown in. And so we're headed to Sweetwater, and we're going down. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this highway. I know some of y'all are, but Macaulay Highway. We're going from 180, I guess, to Macaulay is where it'd be going to. And there's all these little bridges going through there, and they're not, it's just a, not a very safe place to be driving in the middle of summer, much less in the ice. And so we're going in my little three-quarter ton pickup, and all of a sudden, we're nearing a bridge, and I feel the back end of the truck kind of come out from behind me, and before I know it, I'm looking straight out my window, my driver's door window, and we're going straight down the highway. So we're sideways is what I'm trying to say. So we whip it around, go back this way, and my brother is then looking straight out the window. We're nearing the bridge even closer at this point, and then somehow we get it whipped back around, and we're going straight. We make the cut. We made it safely. But I can just remember this time, like the whole time, he's like, Connor, and he's just like, we start laughing while we're sitting here sideways looking at a situation that ain't looking too pretty for us, but we just laugh in these moments. And so this story, I don't know why, but I guess that's just to, I don't know if that's a gift or that's just insanity. Well, I don't know. I'll let you kind of decide. But this story that we're talking about today is it's Isaiah in the temple, and it's this weird, and I think this story catapulted him into what the rest of his life looked like. I think he had this encounter with God, and it's wild, y'all. It's not your normal scene. It's pretty crazy. And I think that's why I like it. But it brought my relationship with the Lord to a new level. I feel like I read this. It convicted me, and I'm hoping that it can do the same thing for you today. I'm hoping that it touches you the way that it touched me. I'm going to try to get this plane off the ground smoothly today. I'm going to try to avoid turbulence, and I'm going to try to land smoothly. But I have never flown a plane, so here we go. It'll be interesting. So we're going to just get into it, read it. Should be up here. It's Isaiah's commission. It's Isaiah 6. And it starts out saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, which each with six wings. With each wing they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for me? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. So, Father, thank you for this word today, God. Thank you for this opportunity to get to speak what you've spoken to me, Father. I pray, Lord, that it would touch hearts, God. I pray that I can deliver it in a way that's understandable and not confusing. I pray, God, that you would just be present in this place and all over this word today, God. We love you in your name. So, set the scene up. Isaiah, this prophet, he is this, like, bad dude. Like, he wrote, like, 66 chapters in the Bible. This dude's a prophet. He prophesied the virgin birth of Jesus. He prophesied John the Baptist coming and making a way for Jesus. And he did all of this, like, hundreds of years before it even happened. And he was a man in tune with God, and like I said earlier, I believe this moment for him lunged him into what happened throughout the rest of that whole book. And he finds himself in this extreme presence of God, and he experiences it like never before. So this guy that's doing this daily routine, he's going to the temple. and I feel like he's probably just worshiping God. He's praying for the Lord to show up in his life. He's going up there to hang out with the people that he knows, the relationships, the other guys, and all of a sudden, boom, he's in the temple in smoke, God, angels, wildness is going down in this temple. And if it's me in there, I'm like Scooby-Doo a little bit. And I'm like, y'all know them, like them all, it seems like every episode on Scooby-Doo, he has this deal where he's like incognito, putting on a hat or a dress or something, or, you know, trying to hide from the ghost. And all of a sudden they spot him, and it's like he leaves out real quick, and the clothes just sit there floating in the air. That is me in this moment. If I see this happening, like smoke, loud noises, foundation shaking, it's like he's got to be thinking I'm done. But he says in verse 5, he says, woe to me, I'm a man of the Lord Almighty. So a few things I want to point out right here is like I get this scene is wild, and it's not something that we've probably ever experienced here in our time or whatever. But I believe every time we get in the presence of the Lord, it's this way. And I'm not saying they're all going to be wild and crazy, but something I want to point out is that angels coming at him, and he touches his lips with a coal. And he says, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And so it just makes me think, sometimes in this lifestyle of worship that we're trying to live, we get in it, we're calling on God, we're asking God to come. And then as soon as we get in his presence, it can sting a little bit. Yeah. It hurts sometimes. Because sometimes he brings stuff up that you don't want to bring up. Sometimes he brings stuff up that you're trying to keep down. And he says, look, I want to take you to the next level. I want you to go here, and I have all these things for you, but I got to send some stuff off of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a lot of times we pray for him to show up, and that happens, and we get mad. It's like, God, where you at? Show up in my life. Like, just where are you at, God? Come, I need you. I need you to do something in my life. But as soon as he does, a lot of the times, I know I do, it happens with me all the time, I get mad at him for doing something. And so we've got to come to a point that we understand that sometimes he's got to take us out and take us to these places we don't want to go to and do things to us that we don't want to happen. But we got to understand that it's necessary. And it's for our own good. There's a story. Me and Caleb, again, being what we are when we were little, we got this horse named Turbo, and he's a black stud. He's a like a puppy dog. Me and Caleb were riding him in the pasture, and I'm probably, I don't know, 8 or 10. He's 10 or 12. And we're on Turbo, bareback, double, and we're going through the pasture. And I'm on the reins, and I'm trying to get him, just trying to control this beast. And mom is walking on the road, and I don't have any control of the situation, y'all. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm a little kid. I go to pull on him. I feel like my butt just slides up on his neck. There's nothing to do. I can stop this thing. And all of a sudden, here's poor mom walking down the road, minding her own business, and we just smack mom right in the back, and there goes Cheryl. And just gushing blood. She cut it open, and it's not good. And she's like, we're like a mile and a half from the house, 2 miles, and she's got to walk all the way back. Me and Caleb just stay on our horse and enjoy the ride while she's just limping home. And it's just funny. It just makes me think about necessary things. It's, she has to go home, and she can't get this thing to quit bleeding. Her leg is like gushing blood, and me and Caleb were just like, it stinks, Mom. Sorry about you, but... And so she gets this cayenne pepper. I don't know if y'all grew up the way we did, but we got some home remedies for a lot of things. And she sticks this cayenne pepper on her leg, and it starts balling up, but it burns like fire. Like, it is hot. Just imagine cayenne pepper on an open wound. And Mom does that, not fun, but absolutely necessary to get the blood to stop. Another time in life where we're running, I'm pretty sure that somebody could have called CPS on my parents for what they let us do. But all is good. We survived, and we're going to this tank we call the dock back there on the backside of our pasture. And we run in the summertime. I can remember this, y'all. I ain't kidding. I was, from as long as I can remember, I'm following them, my brothers, to this dock every single day during the summertime. And we go swimming. And there's cactus, there's trees, there's everything. We've got this little beaten path going through there, and we, like, time it, everything is just on this deal. We're juking and jiving, we're little trying to be little athletes going through the pasture, and all of a sudden, I miss a step, and I fall right into the cactus, and I have my hands full of cactus. And I remember getting back home, and Mom giving me something to bite. I think she gave me a sock to bite on, and she goes to plucking, and she goes to pulling out these stickers, and I just think about how unfun that is, and how our lives kind of resemble that so much. Like, we go and get ourselves because we think we're little baddies. We can run through the pasture and do all these things and juke and jive through life, and then we fall, and it's our own fault. We did it, and we got to get up, and we got to go back, and we got to pluck out some stuff that we don't want to pluck out. But here's the deal. If we don't pluck it out, what good are my hands with a bunch of cactus in them? There's nothing that we can do with it. And so you sometimes just got to bite down. It's not fun, but it is a necessary thing whenever God wants to grab us up and pull things out of our life. But we do. We get mad, and as soon as we see where it's going, we try to have a way back out, and we miss what is going to happen on the other side. So on the other side of that is I get my hands opened up. They're free of stickers. I'm back to swimming. Good to go.
Good.
And we miss out what's going on the other side because we get scared. And if we could be like Isaiah and just have a little bit of stay, a little bit of commitment to this thing that we're doing, we would see what's going on the other side. And if we're willing to do that, That's kind of what leads us to the next point in this scripture right here, and it's verse 8. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me." So first, here's the deal. Isaiah experiences God's presence. He sees his own heart. He sees his own sin. He repents. God atones it. And then he sends him out. And so, like, something, a part of that that makes me just, that sticks out to me is whenever he says, who will go for me? That word, who. It's crazy. That's the cool thing about God, but also the hard thing about God is he wants to pick us up, and he'll clean us up, and he'll atone our sins and all these things, but he gives us the option for how far we're going to go with it after that. He gives us the choice to move forward after that. And he didn't make him do anything. He didn't ask him. He gave him the option. And so, just a little bit of testimony here, just several years back here, incident that happened, and just some things that went on, and there was division, there was all kinds of stuff. Life was so good. Everything was happening so greatly, and I feel like everything was smooth, and all of a sudden, there's just like this abrupt stop, and there's division, and there's all these different things going on. Some decisions were made, some things happened, and it just brought my family to this chaos moment in our life where everybody was just kind of here everywhere. It brought the church to just these different places, and this opportunity came up. I was helping with the music a little bit, and then the opportunity came up to where it opened up, and it was kind of on me a little bit. Like, I had to make a decision. God's calling me into this thing. Like, all right, here's the deal. Here's the open door for you to step in and do something. I'm calling you to it. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't want to do it. I was mad at the situation. I was mad. I had hate going on. I didn't want to do it. I'm just a kid from Stanford that I don't belong here. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be this guy that's doing this thing, that's committing to this lifestyle. I want to go make money. I want to go work with my hands. I want to go do all these things. And I don't belong here. I'm not supposed to do this thing. And so this opportunity came up. And I thankfully could hear the Lord speaking to me a little bit. Just trust me. Just do it. Trust me. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. I'm going to take care of the rest of it. I'm going to take care of all the other things. And so I made a choice to step in and do it. And like, by no means, and you can ask every one of them dudes up here on this stage, there is absolutely no perfection up here with me. There's no control with me, but I just see what the Lord has done in my life. I see the relationships that he's brought together and he's mended that shouldn't be mended, that shouldn't be together. I see what he's done just by making this choice of like serving. Like, God, I'm giving it to you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand. I don't perceive what's going to happen here, God, but I guess I'm going to trust you. And at this time, I still didn't know if I trusted him. Sometimes I still have a hard time doing it. But I see all these things that he's done in my life and see all the people. And not only has he moved my mind and my heart past this aching pain thing, but he's brought me to this place of healing in it. And then he's, not only that, but I see the people that have been coming here, man. And I see the lives that has changed through it all. A lot of them in this room right now, man. It's crazy to see. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your calling is and what you're supposed to do. But I know that sometimes he puts us in places that don't feel comfortable. And he puts us in places that we don't want to be in. But if we would make that choice again, I'm telling you right now that it does something to your life. It does something to the people around. It's not, here I am, an unclean lips, living among unclean people, but all of a sudden I make a choice, and all of a sudden these people start doing things, and things, it's so hard to do, but it's necessary to allow him to do that stuff, because the other side is so much better than where you were at. It's so much better than where you were at, and I don't know what that looks like for you again, but I just know a lifestyle of discipline, of going to the Lord. Your temple may not be the church. It may be your car on your way to work. Getting in his presence. Giving him your stuff. All your junk. It's necessary. Darren, if y'all want to come up here, y'all can come do y'all's thing. But last thing I want to just hit on in this story is verse 11. The Lord, or he's talking to the Lord, and he says, for how long is this? How long? It's right here. Then I said, for how long, Lord? And he answered, until the city lies ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravished. Until the end.
Yep.
Until it's all done. You go until it's all done. Do not give up on what he's called you to do. Do not give up on the worship thing that you're doing. Don't give up on the disciplined lifestyle you're trying to live. When things are going shaky, when things are going bad, you stay hooked until the very end. And I promise you, the other side is going to look better than what you could ever imagine. And it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be pretty, but it's going to be worth it on the other side. He's going to do something on the other side. It makes me think of a verse or a scripture in Psalm 63. It's David in the desert. And he says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And so sometimes, you know, he'll take us out. He'll allow us because of our decisions. Allow us because of the things that we've done. Because of our stuff. He will allow us to get out there in the desert where there's no water, where you're hungry, you're thirsty, you have nowhere else to turn except to him. And when that happens, you just have to call out to him. You've got to go back to him. You can't go back to the substances. You can't go back to the same lifestyle you were living. Just because it's filled with people doesn't mean it's good. Just because it's filled with fun doesn't mean it's good. Sometimes you got to sacrifice a little bit of your time, a little bit of your life, and you've got to go back to God. So that's the deal. Get in his presence. Get disciplined. Make it routine. Isaiah was able to stay hooked because he had done the work before, and he was ready for that moment, as wild and as scary as it was, as crazy as it seemed. As much as I speak for myself, I would have been out of there. But he stayed hooked. And you look at all these other people. There's David in the Bible. There's so many afflictions and things that went on in his life. And he's running from this guy that wanted to kill him. But he stayed hooked. He inquired of the Lord all the time. And became this king. And he was like this, a force to be reckoned with. Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He stayed hooked. He stayed in the fight and he kept going. And two, he let him convict us. He let God convict him. Get in his presence, you get convicted. You got to repent. You got to repent. You got to give him your stuff. You got to give him your sin. He's not mad at you. He just has to do what is necessary to take you to the level he wants you to go to. So whenever you can't see it, whenever you can't feel it, whenever you don't know that he's got another level for you, but you've got to be willing to give up yourself to him. And three is make a choice to go where he sends you. Don't stop when it gets hard, when it burns a little. He's with you. He wants to see you. Again, he's taking you to the next level. He wants to take you to that upper level where you can see the things that you can't see now, the things that are better than you could have ever imagined. He wants to take you there. So, Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Thank you for the people in this room right now. God, I pray for your presence in here today. God, I pray that you would move in this place and we would feel your presence, God, right now. That you would move in here, God, and we would come to a place of conviction and we would come to a place of repentance, Father. And that we would give you everything that we've got in our bag. God, everything that's holding us back, God, I pray that right now that we can give it up and not look back at it. God, I pray for you to move on hearts today, God, for bondages that need to be broken off. God, I pray that you would break them off. And God, whenever you decide to send us somewhere, Father, I pray that we answer. God, I pray that you make us strong and courageous and mighty to take that call, to take that stand and go, Father, wherever it is you want us to go. If it's somewhere that we don't feel comfortable going, God, I pray that you would give us courage to go anyway, and that we would trust your promise that it is going to be good. Move in this place, Father. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray.